Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. If you have your Bible with you, would you like to open them up to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter? And we are going to look very quickly at the 5th verse, probably something that many of us know. But I really believe we are going to enter an era between now and 2020 that we are going to have to step up and upgrade in the level of authority that we walk in as believers. There's a lot of things brewing in the world. One of them, I believe, is North Korea. I believe the countdown clock has already begun for the end of that regime. And so we have to pray that God's kingdom will come and his will be done. The Lord told me he's growing increasingly intolerant of nations that won't let him in. And it's one of those things. And so we have to understand our authority. We have authority in three places given to us by God: heaven, earth, and under the earth. And we need to use all three. We need to learn how to walk in our authority. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll start with verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh," in other words, though we are flesh and blood, "we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." I love that. Some scriptures say strongholds, all sorts of things, but you know, the devil that we fight, is a strongholds devil. He likes to establish strongholds. Darwinism is a stronghold of the devil. Communism was a stronghold of the devil. All sorts of false religions are strongholds of the devil. And so we need to destroy strongholds. We need to rise up in the authority that God has given us and pull those strongholds down. Are you ready for this morning? It's like Sunday morning, you know. But I believe that we are going to go somewhere good. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you have authority. Because the Bible says so. Praise God. So he says, we are destroying, verse 5, he says, we are destroying speculations. Or the translation I like most is the King James, where it says, vain imaginations. Imagine any stronghold of the enemy that thinks they can't let God in now is a vain imagination. Can you say amen? Amen. And he says, we are destroying speculations or imaginations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Praise God. We are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Now, that scripture deals with two types of warfare. There's the warfare within. There's the stuff that takes place between your two ears. And you see, Jesus was crucified at the place called what? The skull. And there's something about that that he puts his cross right, boom, in the middle of our skull. And the Bible calls the devil the prince of the power of the air. And my old pastor, Michael Bassett, he used to put it this way. He said, that's the air between your two ears. So you have to watch what goes on in between your two ears, because that's your personal spiritual warfare. But we also have geographical warfare to deal with. We also have geopolitical warfare to deal with in the realm of the spirit. The Bible talks about thrones and dominions. It talks about principalities and powers. And a principality is basically a regional ruler. When Harvest Church Burnt Oak was first planted, because we were originally in Burnt Oak, I remember the principality. One of the things that we used to deal with was the principality of poverty. Right. So you'd go to Burnt Oak and all the places, all the corner places, all the corner properties were taken by gambling shops. There was a spirit of drug abuse and incest over the Burnt Oak area. That was a real stronghold of the devil. There was a stronghold of witchcraft there. And we really made our mark in that place, demolishing some of those strongholds. Hallelujah. I had to ban. You remember when I put out a ban on anyone going to the salvage shop? There was a shop. I don't know if it's still there? Wow, the salvage shop in Berlin. Lord Jesus, forgive us. Hallelujah. Anyway, so we have to associate with what God has blessed us with. Can you say amen? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you don't belong in the salvage shop. Whatever the bargains are, trust me, my brother and sister, we don't belong there. I had to personally escort Ibi off the premises a couple of times. And yes, it's contentious, it's controversial, but who cares? Jesus is Lord. Amen. And I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 28. Matthew 7, 28. The Bible says this, it says, when Jesus had finished these words, so he was teaching the crowds, when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Next verse. For he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. If you have a study Bible with you this morning, then you'll notice that the word one is in italics. And anytime you find a word in the Bible that's put there in italics, it's put there at the liberty of the translators. It wasn't there originally, but it's put there to try and intonate what they believe the translators were saying. But if you take that word one out as a result, then you'll see something else. Because scribes and Pharisees at that time, they used to teach the people that the people had no authority, that the scribes and the Pharisees themselves were the authority. So you needed a man of God to do this. You needed a man of God to do that. And Jesus came in and busted that whole thing up. And the Bible says actually, literally this, for he was teaching them as having authority and not as the scribes. Do you understand the difference? That word one there that was put in there at the liberty of the translators could have changed the whole thing that Jesus was talking about. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I have authority. So watch it. Hallelujah. It's amazing the authority we have. And I was teaching on this a couple of weeks ago over in East London. And God brought me back, as I was teaching them the word, God brought me back to some of the things that I stood up and exercised my authority on. And there's something about exercising our authority in Christ. And it's basically this, we don't know how much authority we have until we start exercising it. We don't know. We really don't know. I didn't know that I had authority over demons until I started exercising that authority. The Bible told me I had authority, but I'd never exercised any. Has it been the same with you with going to the gym, where you go to the gym and you realize you've got muscles you never knew you had? I was messing around with Junior once. You know, Junior likes to mess around in the gym, and he was doing some pull-up stuff. And I thought, you know, I was doing good because my six-pack started to show again. I was saying, oh yeah, and then Junior starts pulling himself up. He took off his top, he pulls himself up on the bars, and the dude's got like a 12-pack. I didn't know you could have a 12-pack. I knew you could have a barrel, because I had a barrel before I went to the gym. But then, like, you know, and it's like, wow, the dude's got muscles where I didn't know humans had them. It's unbelievable. And it's exactly the same way with our authority in the realm of the Spirit. Until we start exercising it, we won't know the extent and the level of authority that we have. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 concerning spiritual gifts or spiritual manifestations. He says this, he says, to each one is given a certain gift or certain manifestation for the profit of all. So if you look at that in the realm of authority, then there's certain areas of authority that, say, for instance, Temi has that I don't have. There's certain areas that my wife has of authority that I don't have. But you see, unless and until we start exercising our authority individually and corporately, there'll be something missing. Amen. Amen. So turn to your neighbor and tell them God's waiting for you to exercise your authority. So I was teaching this word, and God brought me back. I thought, wow. In 1985, July, I came back from Ireland. I was living in Ireland at the time. As many of you know, I got saved. I was a bit of a scallywag. Got saved in Ireland, moved over to Ireland, cut all my friends off from Tottenham and lived in Ireland. And then I came back on holiday, July 85, and a spiritualist shop had opened up on Seven Sisters Road. Now, where I lived was just off St. Anne's Road in Tottenham. And then you could see over, if you looked out the window of my house, you could see over past the block of flats across the road. And there was this little parade of shops there. One of the first ever KFCs in Britain was around the corner from my house. So you can actually blame the success of KFC in Britain to me, because I was there every other day. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's my claim to fame. And a few doors down from KFC, there was a place called Charlie's Bakery. Anyone from Jamaica, if you knew Charlie's in Seven Sisters Road, very famous Jamaican bakery there, God help us. And I won't tell you what we used to do to Charlie's anyway. And a few doors down from that then, this spiritualist shop opened up. And it was called Ankh, A-N-K-H. And it's one of them, it had the symbol, I don't know if you know that symbol, that's like a round circle, and then it's like, it's almost like a cross, but it's a round circle. It's an ancient Egyptian symbol talking about the deity of man. And some people use it as crosses, but really it's a demonically inspired thing, right? So that was the symbol on each side of this word, A-N-K-H. And so I was there on holiday. I didn't live there, anything like that. But something really bothered me about the fact that this place had set up just across the road from my house. So I started praying. And I said, Lord, and I, you know when you're new in the realm of authority, you don't really know how, you almost have to sort of like feel your way. Is the only way I can explain it. There's certain things that God does it like that, where you just have to feel your way through and see then where you end up, right? It's like that's that guy. Do you remember Jesus laid hands on a guy who was blind, and then he said to them, now what do you see? And Jesus said, I see, the man said, I see men walking around as trees, right? Right. In prophetically speaking, it's like that sometimes with our walk of faith, where God will give you something, you don't fully see it, you don't fully understand it, but you see bits and pieces. The Bible says we know in part, we see in part, we prophesy in part. And so, but the bit that you do is the good bit. Do you get what I mean? It's better to exercise your authority and get it wrong, never than to exercise your authority at all. Do you see what I'm saying? It's very important that we step out into spiritual things, because we're spiritual beings. Yeah. At the end of the day, we are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. But our eternalness is our spirit. So I stood in my bedroom, and I said, and I rebuked that place in Jesus' name, and I shut it down in the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, at that moment, God opened my eyes. And I saw, like, if you imagine that this was the shop there, and then it had flats above it, and I saw standing over on the roof like that, a being, a demonic being, that basically was drawing people in to that place. And I knew then, if I sever that being from that place, then that place is going to dry up and wither. So that's what I did. I went to one, I severed that thing in the name of Jesus, and I commanded that spirit to move on and go away. And it did, because then I came back. That was July 85. Christmas 1985, I came back on holiday. The place had shut down. And I thought, God, that's good, you know. I thought, I like this kind of life, you know. And another time, I was driving home. By that time now, by this time of this story, I was living back in London. I was working for one of the big five banks. And I was driving home through a place called West Bank in Stamford Hill. I don't, anyone who knows Stamford Hill, there's like two roads that run parallel to the railway line there. And I was driving home. There was this big squat in this place called West Bank, a big one. I mean, there was like, do you know like Glastonbury? Do you know those rock festivals, right? But there was this old bus, a 1960s bus. Then there was an armored personnel carrier, and there was all sorts of stuff. And it was like, I think there were like two or three squats on this road. And they were bringing mayhem. There was rubbish outside. I mean, they were turning the place into a complete dump. And I don't know why, right? That wasn't my fight. West Bank, Stamford Hills, like 2 miles away from my house. I just driving through on the way home. But all of a sudden, I'm driving through there and I see this being again. I don't know if it's the same one, but this time it's standing on the roof of that place, calling people in like a herald. And I wasn't picking a fight. I'm driving home on my merry way. I'm probably listening to Copeland or Creflo Dollar or someone like that on my cassette. And I'm driving home minding my business. But suddenly, God opens my eyes and I see this being. So again, I get home, put my stuff down from work, and I start declaring in the name of Jesus. Because every time I see one of those things, I don't want it to be settled and established. Who knows the chaos that it brings? Drug addiction, all sorts of nonsense. You know, people fighting and dying and kind of everything like that. So again, I severed that being from that place. I commanded it to go. I'm exercising my authority that I didn't even know I had and that I didn't even, do you understand? I mean, like, you know, I haven't got a dog in this fight until God showed me the dog. Anyway, that one will drop next week. And so I'm rebuking this thing in Jesus' name. Now, 2 weeks later, there was a police raid on the thing. Big one, headline news, fighting, mini riot broke out on West Bank, everything like that. And I drove past that place about 3 days after that, 2 weeks later, and the place was all shut down, boarded up, and people were just then going about their way. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I thought to myself, this is the thing, I don't know, I hope God does the same thing with you. I like this thing. Yeah. I don't know why, but I like it. And you see, there's levels. This is another thing that the Bible says, if we are faithful with little, he'll make us ruler over much, right? Which means that God will promote us in spiritual things to the point of our unfaithfulness. Wow. So we can keep going. Wow. I'm saying this to you because I want to stir something on the inside of you. For some, you see, it can be authority over sickness and disease. Where your family has been dogged and dogged and dogged with a certain thing. It can be to do with marriage breakdown. You know, there's some people, they haven't had a decent marriage in their bloodline for 5 generations. Wow. That's not right. Something's causing that.
Right.
And many times God will put a divine dissatisfaction. I said to somebody once, you know, they said, Pastor P, I'm really wondering about, you know, my ministry. What has God called me to? And I said to them, I said, what's the point of your frustration? Wow. And do you know what she said? She said, the way that women are treated in church by pastors. I said, that's your ministry, honey. I said, get busy in that area of ministry and watch what God will do. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question then, my brother and sister. What's your point of frustration? For me, one of the things was the poverty of the church. Thank God, God's given me an anointing to raise up millionaires. I like it. I like it. I like it. Yeah, it's good. Prosperity is good. I was embarrassed by poverty for years. I wore secondhand clothes until I was 13. I used to wear PVC shoes. Now, my feet are big and sweaty because I'm half Irish. And if you're half Irish, then you big feet is your portion. That's just the way it is. I don't know what. And I used to have to wear these PVC shoes that my mum bought for 12 quid. And literally, at the end of the day, I could turn it upside down and the sweat would run out of my shoes. Horrible. Did you wear the same shoes? You're looking at... Yeah. And so now, you know, I like nice... I like decent shoes. I was saying to Abby, my daughter Abby was asking me, Daddy, she was like, can I wear your cowboy boots? I said, sure. So she's trotting around the house with these big size 12 cowboy boots. And she says, I like these, Daddy. I want to buy a pair. How much were they? I said, $500. She said, forget it. And I like to, as a result of poverty embarrassing me, now I like to embarrass poverty.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. What? It's that point of frustration. right? So let me ask you, my brother and sister, now today, where is your point of frustration? Is it the childless? Is it the homeless? Is it them who have no father? Is it them who've never seen the power of God, who don't know God is real? Whatever that point of frustration is, God can take that thing and pour it out double on your life and make you an effective weapon for his goodness. Hallelujah to Jesus. I like this stuff. Where did he get this authority? That was one of the questions that the Pharisees used to ask themselves. There's something about it. There's that question that comes about. And I remember I was sharing in East London about the times that I had just completely failed in. It's very difficult to explain, but let me give you the testimony of it. Do you remember the 7/7 bombings in London? And for weeks beforehand, I don't know, the number 9/11 just kept following me everywhere. Everywhere. Like, I'd look at my watch in the morning, it was 9/11. You know, I would get £9.11 change from the shop. Or I'd be down the city of London or something, and there'd be a number 9 bus and then a number 11 bus beside each other, just following me everywhere, you know? And all of a sudden then, in the countdown to that 7/7 bombing, it became 8/11, and then 7/11, 6/11, 5/11, 4/11, and until at 1/11 in the afternoon, we're sitting in Edinburgh Airport. We'd just done an encounter with Ken and Lois Gott up there in Scotland with Jim and Myra Gibson. And we were sitting in the airport, and I'm looking at my watch, and it's 1/11. And I know something's wrong, and I don't know what it is. I can feel something in my spirit. I know something's about to go off. And the only way I can express it is just that, have you ever had that? This ominous feeling that something horrible is going to happen and you don't know what it is. It's a terrible feeling to have. And then on the actual day itself, on 7/7, which was really our 9/11, that's what the Holy Spirit was telling me, I was going up to St. Albans to get a haircut, and I'm turning on the radio, the travel news is on, and they said that there's been a power surge at Aldgate East. And I'm thinking, that's kind of strange. And so I pull into the car park, go into the barber's shop to get my hair cut, and they've got the radio playing on, Capital Radio's playing there. And then they said there's been a power surge at such and such a place. I can't remember which one of the others that they named next. And I turned to the guy who was cutting my hair, and I said, that's not a power surge. I said, that's a terrorist attack. Because then 2 and 2 was making 4. And he said, oh, I hope not. He says, I'm due in London later on. I've got a lunch meeting. I said, forget it. You won't get there. Like that. And I came out and I knew that London had been attacked. And just the horrible feeling that I could have done something. That's what it felt like. Horrible feeling in the bottom of my guts that I could have done something. And I got home, parked my car, I went in, I turned on the news. I said, London's been attacked. In fact, Roro was babysitting Benji at the time. And I said, London's been attacked. And I turned on the news and I see this bus. You know that famous photograph of that bus that's completely blown to bits? And I broke down and I cried my guts out for 20 minutes. And Roro thought I'd probably gone mad or something. Because all I kept saying, I could have done something. I could have done something. I could have done something. And I said, I made that vow before God on my knees in front of my TV right there that morning. I said, God, if there's anything I can ever do to help in the intervention of this stuff, then Lord, let it be so in Jesus' mighty name. And that was it. It affected me so deeply, right? So anyway, then flash forward to 21/7, which was 2 weeks after the 7/7 bombings. And I'm praying. It's 9:45 in the morning. I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says to me, he says, tell your people to pray. Tell them it's still 9/11. So I sent out a text. My team, you all got the text that day. And I texted them and left it at that. I went into the office. We were at Premier House in Edgware. And then the next thing, I get a call from Dave Fairman, called me up. He said, it's happened again, about lunchtime. It's happened again. I said, what? He said, if you've got a TV, turn on the news. He said, there's bombs been planted on the tubes in Warren Street. He said, there's armed police all over Warren Street, and they're running around with guns, and they're looking for these bombers because none of their bombs have gone off. And I felt like Ian Wright scoring a hat trick against Tottenham Hotspurs. I mean, I went, whoo-cha, yes, sir. Because suddenly, my authority, I felt like the wings of my authority were beginning to spread. Hallelujah. I can't tell you the feeling of power that that brought. That the Holy Spirit himself will be talking to me 9:45 in the morning, and then 12:30, 1 in the afternoon, I'm getting the confirmation that we've just hit a bullseye in the Spirit. And God started to use me then in that realm of authority. I remember I called you up one day about, I'd been praying, and the Lord showed me that there was some bunch of terror people in High Wycombe, and that they had stashed some stuff. The police had raided their place, but they couldn't find the evidence of this stuff. And the Lord showed me that they had buried it in a forest in High Wycombe, and that if I prayed, God would reveal to the police where it was. I told Toke, do you remember? I said, God showed me it's in a forest. And that was the Thursday. Saturday morning, they dug the stuff up and found it. Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. Now, guys, I've got news for you. Today isn't the Pastor P show. I'm saying this to you because you have authority. Where does it lie? Where does your authority lie? Is it in setting captives free? Is it in raising up orphans and widows? Is it in ministering to the poor? Is it being the arms of Jesus in an intensive care ward or in a hospice? What is it? Is it to the poor? Is it for people who can't even afford like a Christmas lunch? What is it? Where is your authority? Because there's a natural authority we carry, and there's a supernatural authority that we carry. And particularly in this day and age, dudes, I've got news for you. There's a lot of haters in London. There's a lot of people who wouldn't hesitate in blowing us to pieces on a regular basis until we're all gone. They are haters with a capital H, right? So we have to know our authority in the realm of the Spirit. We have to be awake and alive to those things and be able to discern what God is showing us. I believe there's something that God wants to deposit on us. It could be in dreams. It could be that intuition that you get, that what they call that gut feeling. You know, a lot of police people that I minister to, they have that what they call that policeman's hunch. It's like an instinct. I have that concerning drug dealers. I know when I'm near a drug dealer. I know it by the Spirit of God. There's a certain way that a drug dealer's spirit reacts to my spirit that I can tell they're one. I wish I was a copper sometimes. Lord Jesus. Wow. But you see, this is the thing, right? Now, let me borrow you for 1 second, right? Now, Mel's not a policeman, but let's say he was, right? Turn around there. He's Copper Mel. Okay. Now, the Bible says, and it's a very common scripture, unless the Lord build the house, the laborers labor in vain. And then it says this, unless the watchman keeps the city, unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waits in vain, right? Okay, now this is a watchman, Copper Mel, right? He's the watchman. But unless the Lord... Right, what's going to keep the Lord's hand on this city? Intercessory prayer. Amen. This guy is worthless, powerless, and useless in his job unless the Lord is with him. So it's our job, you see. If God's calling you as an intercessor in this city, then it's our job to make sure that the Lord is making sure that this guy is watching over the city. Does that make sense? Thank you. Put your hands together for Mel. Praise God. So I really want us in this, just like particularly over this conference, because Prophet Sharon Stone's a great, great woman of God. Apostle Wynne Goss is awesome, awesome man of God in the area of worship. You hear the wings of worship that he carries, right? As a little kind of side thing during this conference week, keep that in your spirit. Concerning, Lord, where is my sphere of authority? Where is my point of frustration? What is it that's going to drive me into my high call in Christ Jesus? Because I know, my brother and sister, we carry authority that we don't know we carry until we exercise it. May the Lord give us understanding and revelation in this matter in Jesus' name. Would you like to stand to your feet? Thank God for his word. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we bless your holy name. Lord God, we know that we carry authority that we don't know about. Lord, particularly in this next week, as we gather to seek your face in this conference we're having, Father, Lord God, I pray that you'll show us the level of authority that we carry. I pray that you'll show us, God of glory, what it is to walk in that authority. Whatever level of authority that we have, that we carry right now, Lord God, show it more. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Roro, the Lord shows me that there's an authority over people who are demon-possessed that you're yet to exercise. I don't know if you've even seen glimpses of it. I don't know. Have you ever casted out a devil or anything like that? Wonderful. Well, there's a level that God's going to bring you into. You're going to see it like a deliverance. You're going to bring deliverance to a lot of people. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Tommaso, the Lord shows me that there's some things that's been prophesied over you concerning ministering to children. A peace that will come into those with learning difficulties, and that literally that they can't even sit still, and that literally when your arms are around them, when you're even speaking to them, even kneeling at the same height as them, that there's just going to be a calm and a peace that comes into them, and an ability to hear your voice very clearly. Father, Lord God, we release that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, wonderful God. Let your banner be raised, Lord God. Let your glory be seen. Thank you, wonderful God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Reach your point of authority right now with God. Reach your point of frustration with the Lord right now. Thank you, God, my God. Bless your holy name, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. There's so many healing hearts in this place. You're carrying a heart to heal. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Bless your wonderful name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. The Lord is giving authority over the nations. Authority over the nations. I see it very clearly in my spirit. Authority over the nations. The Bible says you'll rule them with a rod of iron. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, wonderful God. Thank you, Lord. There's people here. What my wife said earlier on about praying and paying for people to go, and I see there's some of you, you've almost got remote control over the nations, like a light has gone out from you because you've sent somebody. And that blessing, like she said, that blessing is recorded in the heavenlies. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. We worship you, God. What a faithful God have I. Faithful in every way. Thank you, Lord. What a faithful God have I, Mandriya Sinane. What a faithful God, Makaya Sinambe Bayaninche. What a faithful God have I, faithful in every way. What a faithful God have I, we bless your holy name, Jesus. What a faithful God, my Akibian Bayanin. What a faithful God have I, faithful in every way. What a faithful God, what a faithful God have I, my baby, I'm by a missing out. What a faithful God, what a faithful God have I. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just keep seeing things descending on people. Jesse Amui, there's an authority over the demonic that God is going to release you into. I mean, you'll be able to see him at 50 yards. Get to work on them and cast out. Do you cast out devils already? You've got that ministry? Do you know you've got that ministry, Jesse? Yes? Great. Keep pushing for that, please. Push into that. Watch how God will use it. I pray God will start to frustrate you. If you don't know what call is on your life, I pray God will start frustrating you with something and annoying you with something until you push in to that authority and obtain that release from God. May the Lord bless you this morning. If you believe it, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah.